step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them in the balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Hello! Konnichiwa! Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war on bullshit. We will do anything we can to expose bullshit. And by bullshit, we mean corruption, not actual male bovine excrement, for those of you who don't know. The ends sometimes justify the means, so if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't hold my tongue or censor myself. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. I will do anything and everything to expose anything that is corrupt. And before we get started, we usually have a, he promised to be good today. He did promise. And, you know, he said he was gonna change it up. So, this is, King Shabazz of, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate it. You want freedom? You're gonna have to kill some crackers. You're gonna have to kill some of their babies.
I keep falling for it. I keep freaking falling for it. You know, he promises that he's going to change a new leaf, that he's not going to be racist, that he's not going to hate white people anymore, and he still says the same thing. I just don't get it. Anyway, first story we got here, I don't know if you guys heard, this happened today. Environmental militant takes hostages at Discovery Channel. Law enforcement identified the suspect as James Lee, 43, of Washington, D.C., who was for at least two years called for protest against the company, who was arrested and found guilty of disorderly conduct for protest outside Discovery's headquarters in 2008. In a rambling manifesto on Lee's website believed to have been written by Lee, the writer rails against disgusting human babies, parasitic infants, and says people have should disassemble civilization. The manifesto also calls on Discovery to broadcast to the world their commitment to save the planet. Employees at the building were told to take cover in locked offices, and police have sent SWAT teams to the area to seal off nearby roads. The FBI agents from ATF, including explosive experts, also rushed to the building. This is an old story, basically.
These people who are calling humans parasites, why don't they kill themselves first?
Yeah, right? In fact, oops, I almost forgot to introduce my panel of experts. Well, first we got Glenn Z of We Are Change New Jersey. His upcoming movie.
Doing?
His upcoming movie is called 2001, the year we make. Well, is it 9/11 2001, the year we made contact?
No, no. It's just this time. It's just 2001, the year we made contact.
Alrighty, it's basically exposing the New World Order's religion on how they use synchronicity to basically tell on themselves and show that.
Well, actually,
the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with something that deep, man, why
and,
are you?
And I actually
we
wanted
are
to
chump?
Comment.
Why
I
are
wanted
you
to comment.
We are chumps to allow Freemasons. I mean.
Well, no, we're not.
I actually broke off from Luke. I was one of the founding members of the organization, and I've seen him and the whole situation progress over time, and that's why I support Louis' operation. But We Are Change New Jersey is completely in our control, and it's a very tightly knit community we have here. We know what's going on. We have been infiltrated, but we dealt with it. We don't allow these types of shenanigans to go on over here.
Okay. Sounds reasonable to me. I'm sorry.
Alright, yep. Next we got Barbara C. Johnson. It was an ex-lawyer.
Oh.
She wrote many books actually defending men's rights, so she is a lovely lady. A cougar, if I might add.
Oh, God. That sounds good.
May I continue to be a successful cougar.
Damn skimmy. Amen. Here. And also we got Mike Hutchison, and he does a radio show, and he's an all-around curmudgeon. No, I'm just kidding. What's the name of your radio show, Mike?
It's never got the same name. You know, some people put, like, their radio show name and then the subtitle of the show, but I don't do that. I just put the title of the show. So I really don't know. And I don't have one on a consistent basis. It's just here and there. So.
Alrighty. Well, he does a show on
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio for the time being. until they.
Yeah,
say,
I heard
oh,
John
well.
Before. Very consistent analysis. I liked your show that you did exposing the whole situation with We Are Changing New York.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I was
going to
say, actually, just real briefly, about the whole Discovery guy. Just real quick, I was going to give you a synchromistic analysis. And today is September the 1st, so it's a very significant thing that happened because the Discovery is the name of the shuttle in Kubrick's film 2001 that gets stuck up there by Jupiter, and then they have to rescue it in the sequel. So that's why I made a sequel to my film, 9/11/2001, A Space Odyssey. I made 2001 the year we made contact as an homage to Peter Hyams, who directed the second film, and I called it 2001, the year we made contact, not 2010, the year we make contact, a slight play on the original title. And the whole thing is basically a one-hour boil-down, you know, of the whole 9/11 situation.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
only the trailer is up for that, but yeah, the Discovery,
yeah.
It's kind of
synchronicity. Briefly explain why do you focus on the synchronicity of 9/11? What's the relevance, and how is that not New Age?
Well, again, I'm glad you have me on first of all, because Louis and I used to co-host. Louis had me on. Now I'm doing my own operation, and people, you know. Now that the well has been tainted by Luke and company, you know, for allowing these types of things to go on, We Are Change as a bad rep. But you'll find through all of my work, if you go on my YouTube channel, We Are Change NJ, all these different things, my website, you'll find I've been very consistent in my message, and that is very simple. The one thing that nobody can debunk, you know, regardless of what you believe, whether it was the Jews that did 9/11 or the Muslims, or the government, or whole, any you know number of things, aliens, whatever you want to believe. The one thing nobody can deny and disagree on is the fact that the media and the government had foreknowledge, and they failed to act on that foreknowledge. And the thing is, after a while, you start to see these instances, and you hear yourself, are these coincidences? You know, or is this all been planted and there to, you know, to pre-program us and brainwash us to accept all of this ahead of time? And that's why I put together a whole film in destruction or who did it or why. It simply deals with the legend, the actual story itself, and how it was misrepresented. And I'm going back to the basics of actually retelling the legend of 9/11 and show you how it's been distorted into the myth, which we explored in 9/11-2001, A Space Odyssey. So this is all the first about the individual. This one's more about the collective experience. And by showing people these clips that I found that show 9/11 happening ahead, it basically creates an undeniable argument that there was foreknowledge.
How do the clips show?
Whoever got their show on, they're listening to it through their speakers. You're causing it to echo through the phone.
I have a speaker. I'm calling on Skype. I don't know if it's echoing.
Do you have a headset?
I hear the echo too.
Yeah.
I do have a headset. I don't have it plugged in. I don't know if I have room for it, but whatever. Is it badly echoing? I don't hear an echo at this end.
Okay, now
I hear an echo at this end every so often. I just heard it right there.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Ask your question, Ms. Barbara.
Okay, the clips. How did the clips prove that there was foreknowledge?
Well, here you go. Watch the trailer. I just posted it in the chat. It's a 30-second introduction to the film, and I quoted some scenes from 2010 where the guys are like, how do we know that this won't happen again? And in a synchronistic fashion, you can apply that to 9/11 because we're also asking the same question. How do we know that you know what the truth is 9 years down the line? And then I proceed to show you a series of clips of the World Trade Center being destroyed in a couple different ways and the Pentagon being attacked. And this shows you that these are all media pieces before it happened, that we are clearly being brainwashed before it even happened to accept when it happened. And that's why everyone exclaimed when it did happen that it was like a movie, because it was like a movie. We were inculcated with it years in advance. And even Senator Bob Kerry, when he was confronted by We Are Change LA, he said, where do you start the investigation? It's a 30-plus year conspiracy. We're talking about before the building of the World Trade Center, even. We're talking about, you know, maybe a century at least of planning.
What is the proof? How do those...
Well, watch 9/11-2001, A Space Odyssey. It gets right into it. David Rockefeller, it was his idea to build the World Trade Center. He gave the money. We cover all that in the first film, who did it and why. But this second film gets
in Costa Rica.
Simply the
I don't know how I can watch it. I'm living in Costa Rica now.
Okay,
I'm gonna send
you the
YouTube
link, Ms.
Barbara. Over there?
Hold on, I'm gonna send you the link where I have it uploaded to Blip TV.
No, go to the trailer
for the
new
one on YouTube.
That's
I just posted it in the chat.
Yeah, well, she's not in that chat room.
That's right, okay. I'm not. I'm on by Skype.
Oh, you're on the Skype chat. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, send her that trailer link.
I will send her the trailer as we speak. So go ahead, explain her question, and I'll get that done. I mean, why don't you explain how... You don't believe that the world is connected synchronistically, like just mystically, that this is caused, right?
But hold on. Yeah, you had a whole bunch of questions in your original question. Mm-hmm. The reason why I cover this information is because no other person is covering this significantly within the 9/11 truth movement. In fact, it was scoffed at before. Now everybody has come to the same conclusion that indeed there is a ritualistic religious aspect to it, and indeed it was a human sacrifice ritual that took place. What I'm saying is that was definitely a conspiracy. That was not a coincidence that it happened on 9/11. I'm obviously a 9/11 truther, and there's a whole bunch of physical evidence that we can get into. But the point is, there's foreknowledge.
You need proof. I practiced law for a few decades. You need proof. You just
there's numerous plots where they actually say that
proving.
It's going to happen this way, and we're going to blame.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blame it on Muslims to start an international war on terrorism that can never be won, and it's an inside job. And they even tell you this over and over again in these various broadcasts. So there's the proof.
No, here's
not a coincidence when you have more than one of these instances.
Let me give you a clue. First of all, everyone who was on that plane didn't exist afterward because they were burned up. They became dust, ashes. So no one really knows, other than for the passenger lists, who was on that plane, assuming that the passenger lists are correct. And because there are beneficiaries, there are heirs, there are relatives, kin, friends, and so forth, who knew these people, and none of them have come home again, we can assume that that passenger list was correct. Okay? But now, if there are some miscellaneous names that happen to be Muslim and that are not, and their beneficiaries aren't there claiming, or their wives or their spouses or their children or whatever are not claiming that they have not come home again, maybe those were the people who attacked the plane. We do not know that. We also do not know what preceded it. There is some history that, but I don't know if it's provable, that claim that when they researched these guys who they claim were on the plane, who were hijacking the plane, studied how to fly in some school in Florida. So there are lots of assumptions being made about these people. But and then they say the Mossad knew, but the government, our government, didn't pay attention to what the Mossad knew. Others say, well, the Mossad never told the government. So there are lots of crazy stories out there.
Well, first, I got to jump in here real quick and say this. You can't say, well, because we weren't on the plane, we don't know what was going on. You got to handle this like a murder investigation. And that's exactly how you have to handle it. You have to sift through the evidence. You don't have any presuppositions before you go through it. And I didn't. When I was about 16 years old, I was working at a burger joint called Hardee's. I had my assistant manager tell me, dude, there's all this evidence that 9/11 was done by our government. Now my understanding's expanded a little bit to where I believe Israel had something to do with it too. But he was just telling me all these things. And I'm like, yeah, right, that's totally stupid. I mean, I saw those planes crash into the towers. I was in the seventh grade when I saw them crash. They had the news channel on in the room. So I told him all those things, and he was telling me various things. So I decided that I was going to look it up to try to disprove it, to shut him up. But the more I looked into it, the more I was convinced. So, I mean, you have to... You can step into it.
Okay, can I step back in real quick?
It's not persuasive.
Can I step back in real quick? Okay, you first of all, both of you missed the point entirely. We strayed way off topic. The one thing that nobody can deny, which is why we veered off into straw man debates, which is the whole point of the 9/11 truth debunkers, is to get into murky areas. Let's talk about what we can prove. We can prove media foreknowledge. There are several instances of this exact plot, 9/11, even the numbers thrown in sometimes, but, several instances where word for word, section for section, event for event, blow for blow, they said, we're going to blame this on Muslims, start an international war, and it's going to be perpetrated by secret intelligence networks. And this is, in my film, I feature clips 2, 5, 10, sometimes even 30 years before 9/11. That is not a coincidence when you have 5, 6 different holes in the story like that. When there's
what
all these,
media
and not to mention,
that?
You know, they had the memos. Osama was determined to strike within the United States. There's all kinds of examples. If you just go into the National Archives, if you go to National Library of Congress or New York Public Library, you can find it all for yourself.
Now, what media source is it? Answer that question. What
USA Today, New York Times, you name it. You can go to the National Archives and go on microfilm.
I'm not going to any National Archives to follow some crackpot ideas. You know, I want to know.
How is it a crackpot idea when USA Today admitted that the government was running drills of airplanes as weapons targeting the Pentagon and World Trade Center on the very day, and they lied the government by saying that they had no idea such a plan could take place when they were actually implementing such a plan on that day? Give me a break.
Do you have proof that the government was doing simulations of that? Was
why don't you direct that question to PatriotsQuestion911.com, lady? Why don't you go ask the two-star, three-star generals who are asking that very question that you're asking? There are people
before
inside our government who tried to warn us of the attack. That is not debatable. We have FBI translate.
You
have FBI
not translate the question.
Warned the exact date, time, and location. That is not cool. Give me
before or after the tower went down, were they doing those simulations? Very simple question.
We have
questions.
Good people within the government. Stop the attacks. Do you understand? Avoiding what you are hearing me, but you're listening. There is undeniable media and government foreknowledge. It's USA Today. NORAD had drills of planes as weapons. 2005. Please, I have done the research. There's no, denying the attacks were coming and the political gain after the fact. Whether you believe they did it or not, they knew about it and they used it after the fact for their own political gains. The government. Why are you defending the official explanation? What stake do you have in it? You have no stake. An Islamophobic stance that makes no sense.
As
to all your
you asked me a question, now let me answer it. Okay, don't overtalk me like that. I don't mind.
You were overtalking him. You wouldn't even let him finish before you were over.
Oh, no, I asked him a one-word question before and after me. I asked him a question that required a one word before or after, and he came out and answered with three paragraphs.
He was giving you a detailed answer so you could look it up and verify it.
But I'm in Costa Rica. I am not going to take the time. I'm too busy.
You obviously have the internet, don't you?
I have too much to do. I have a hell of a lot more to do.
Do you have the internet?
I argue with some crackpots. Of course, I'm talking to you. I wouldn't be able to talk to you via Skype if I did not have the internet.
Okay, then you can look these things up.
You need time. I don't have the time to do it. If the guy has...
Okay, if you don't have the time to do it, then you can't take any stance on it.
You ask me a question, let me answer. If the guy has a source, he should be able to name it. He should not have to tell people, well, go look it up yourself. Buck on him, to use Louis' words. I mean, it's just asinine. I don't have any... I have challenged the government. This is one of the reasons I'm in Costa Rica, because I challenged the government. So that's not an issue here. Okay? Go read my book, Behind the Black Robes, the subtitle of Failed Justice. I challenge the judiciary. I challenge the media. It's all in there. You can go get it on Amazon. There you can do something. And the point is that you can't. You have to give concrete answers to be believable. And you don't give concrete answers. Telling them, go look at my clip, that's not proof of anything. Go look it up on the internet, that's not proof of anything. Go into some library, that's not proof of anything. I want you found. No, it is not. All it is some...
Giving you sources to go look up for yourself.
No. If he has a source, he can goddamn it name it. And if he doesn't have it, then he's, you know, he's... Something you can step on in
you're
Halloween.
You're a cranky woman. I mean,
you betcha. I've got more anger than me. I am absolutely God, I can't talk. I am absolutely cranky, and I have a right to that crankiness, and frankly, I enjoy being cranky. Otherwise, I'd be terribly boring. But I'm also intelligent, okay? And that's one thing, and you're not persuasive, and that's important.
Well, your excuse for these things is that you don't have enough time. So therefore, you can't take any stance on it if you won't investigate it one way or the other. That's just ridiculous.
No, that isn't. No, that
isn't. Ridiculous. It's a sad excuse.
Oh, God damn it.
It's a sad excuse, woman. It really is.
You really are a fool. You really are a fool.
I'm a fool. Okay.
My excuse is that I don't have time to follow your damn instructions to go elsewhere for the
fool. You don't have the time. I'm sure you do have the time.
You should.
Everybody's at least got a few spare minutes in their day.
Really all an ass. If you have the source, you should say it now. If you do not have the source, then say nothing. Don't make yourself out.
Oh, please. Giving you several places to look. Chillax. Really.
Oh, come on.
You don't care to look, and that's your whole point.
I have to agree with a crazy Christian for a second because I've been guilty of that.
Hi, Chris.
I remember information, and I can't remember what the source is. But I know that I've seen it, I know that I've read it, and I know that it's out there. So it is kind of hard sometimes when you've got so much information coming in to be able to cite every single source.
Well, if you are on the radio coming to advertise your position, then he should have had done his homework and had his sources available. To come on here and say he didn't have time because he saw it someplace. I mean, there are more crazies out there on the internet, more crazy emails, more crazy conspiracy theorists, all of that out there. Saying that I saw some email, saying that it's out there, you know, he saw it somewhere, you know, is just not sufficient. It's not going to convince any jury. And that's why.
If you know they're out there, then you took the time to look them up, and therefore you do have free time in your day.
But what is the topic that
I'm talking about? You don't understand.
Exactly.
I must not be articulating myself. At any rate, I don't believe the guy. Okay. Period. Go ahead.
Hold on. What evidence did you bring forth that you can't cite the source for? I'm just curious because I didn't get to hear the beginning
here,
of the show.
Can I pop back in real quick? Can I pop back in real quick?
Yeah.
I've been listening to this. Again, let's get right to the heart of the matter. The official story people always put the burden of proof on the conspiracy theorist, asking for evidence that we can't possibly provide, like video of the people putting the bombs in the building. Obviously, that's been covered up. But what hasn't been covered up is the foreknowledge and how they put it in the media to brainwash you ahead of time. Second of all, let me ask these two fundamental questions, and then you can respond. A, what evidence is there to suggest that Osama bin Laden and the 19 hijackers were responsible? B, 9 years down the road, today, the 1st of September 2010, where is Osama bin Laden? It has been corroborated by the Pakistani ISI, as well as numerous intelligence agencies around the world, that indeed Osama bin Laden has been dead for years and it's no use looking for him. Thank you very much.
I had to go along with it that there really is no proof of who did it. There really isn't. And for someone to say that there is, then they should come right out with the source and not tell people to go look it up themselves. If he has the source, he should say it. If he doesn't have the source, then be quiet.
Well, it's like a murder case, though. You know, in a murder case, you don't necessarily have a videotape of the murder.
Well, that's not a good comparison. In murder cases, a lot of time the cops just want a warm body, as does the DA, because he wants to be elected again. There are more innocent people sitting in jail than you can shake a stick. I mean, that's just not a good comparison.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Having had experience in the defending people in criminal court, I'm working on a big case now to free four Indians, Dakotans, who have been in jail for 16 years. I just finished reading 10 days of trial transcripts, and I don't know how many other files that went along with this. I mean, those guys were simply screwed, and they're there sitting for 16 years, and it's a shame. So getting a murder, any one of these big types of sensational cases as an example is just insufficient. There are too many innocent people sitting in jail.
What is the controversial evidence?
He refuses to say what the evidence is.
I'm kind of lost on what exactly is the controversy here.
The controversy is he claims he knows who did it and that the government knew ahead of time because it was they who arranged for this whole thing to happen. And I am saying, what is the source of your evidence?
Well, who,
and
who
he
is
refuses
it,
to answer. He wants me to go to the library, go to the archives, go to the internet, and he refuses to answer. And I'm saying, telling me to go somewhere and look it up myself is not an answer to what is the source. Then he said,
but who's they, though?
They, I'm assuming he means the government. That's what I got from his thing. I could be wrong. But from what he said, I assume that's what he was saying. You know,
I thought that was common knowledge that the government did it.
Well, common knowledge how? I mean, why? I don't know who did it. Why would you say the government did it? Disinformation? That's a big thing. The word for all of this is disinformation.
Okay,
Miss Barbara, if I could jump in. You wanted an article. This is what I was actually going to talk about on the show today. This is from the London Guardian. Fidel Castro claims Osama bin Laden is a U.S. spy.
Many people have said that he used to work for the CIA. And
but his code name was Tim Osmond. He used to work with the CIA. Al-Qaeda means the database. It's an Arabic word meaning the database, which is the database that they created in order to database all of these freedom fighters when they were over there fighting in Afghanistan against the Russians. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's also behind the Obama administration now, was the one who orchestrated all of this, and he actually went so far as to brag about how they used their asset of Osama bin Laden and the Taliban to bring down Russia, to put them into a war that they couldn't sustain financially, and eventually bring down the Union.
For decades, a real political bastard. I wouldn't trust him as far as you could throw him.
Exactly.
Anything you
want
to say against him, you can be my guest.
He's a CIA asset. As was Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, well, they're the government. The Bushes wanted because the Iraqians at that time wanted to be paid for the oil in euros. I mean, now you know what's happening. I know what's happening to the dollar here because it gets lower and lower every day when I cash a dollar and change it into colones. And people who follow the currency know what's happening to our dollar. When there was no, I mean, the Federal Reserve has got to be knocked out. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, gold should, it has to be something.
Well, I mean,
wanted to pay. What Saddam Hussein was doing at the time was putting it out to the other Arabs that they wanted to be paid for the oil in euros.
Right, and they sent John Perkins up there, who an economic hitman.
They did not want to accept dollars because they knew damn well that the dollars were going to be tanked. They knew that the dollars were no good. They knew that the debt was increasing in the States. They knew that it was going to be toilet paper in the near future. That is why Bush and his friends decided to go in. The first Bush went into Iraq the first time, but he didn't kill Saddam Hussein, and Bush Jr., there, whatever his name is, wanted to go in. He was fulfilling what his father was never able to complete, and stayed there long enough to find Hussein, clearly. But that was the original reason, money. Look, across the entire world, what you have is greed. Money is power. Okay? These people want money. Some people just want power, not money. But most often, there's a combination. If you have power, you get the money. That's what these were all about.
These are the people who make the money, though. So I think looking at it from a money perspective and going after the oil is a little bit one-dimensional, especially when the first operation in Iraq was called Operation Planet X. We're looking at Iraq, and it's ancient Babylon. It's ancient Sumer. The first thing that we did when we went over there is we raided the museums, and we got all these ancient Sumerian artifacts and tablets and things like that. So, I mean, this is like so many different levels on an onion.
Look,
you just see people off one layer.
Getting back to what you were saying earlier about Brzezinski, it's an artificial clash of civilizations, and you're being duped into hating Muslims. I mean, do the research. Please, give me a break.
No, I didn't say anything about Muslims. I'm saying that I didn't like Zbigniew, however he pronounces his name. You know, I mean, I followed him for years, and I just never liked him for years. Years and years and years.
No, but you asked a question earlier. You said, why would we blame the government? And to answer that very succinctly, is because the whole thing is supposed to be shrouded in mystery. It's a sacred myth that could never be attacked, or, you know, because it's this cultural epicenter, this founding myth, this founding narrative, and the whole thing really needs to be scrutinized heavily because it was established so it could never be ever scrutinized or talked about. And it's like Jesse Ventura says, why, when you bring it up, do people automatically shy away from it?
I've been talking about the wars, the two, from Bush Senior and Bush Junior, father and son, the purpose, the reason for the wars in that area of the world. I have not been discussing the Twin Towers. I think my own personal opinion is that any one of these groups have done it. I think the media gives out, upon instruction, lots of disinformation, you know, and to know who is giving the disinformation is virtually almost impossible to discover. Why? Because the whole power is keeping things secret. And I mean, it's like,
well,
if you
I agree with you to a degree. I mean, to be very succinct, if you'd like, I can lay out in a very simple couple of sentences what I believe is the situation here. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay, it's a very simple matter of understanding the difference, first of all, between, you know, you're really asking two different questions. Who planned it and who executed it are two very different questions. Who planned it? My answer in my film, 9/11/2001, A Space Odyssey, we get right into it in the first 5-10 minutes. I'm putting the blame on one individual, primarily, as being the head architect, but there are others, obviously. The head planner was David Rockefeller, the current heir to the Rockefeller dynasty. Why do I say that? Because the Federal Reserve is a gaggle of crooks, and he...
How old is he now?
He's one of these other key players on the scene, along with Brzezinski, in the founding of all these
David
think tanks, which called repeatedly for a 9/11-style event in the years before it happened, most notably in the form of the PNAC think tank. It's an offshoot of one of their various foreign relations think tanks. And so, you know, you have all this evidence that it was set up by people even higher than George Bush, and to blame George Bush and Dick Cheney is very narrow-minded. And so who actually executed 9/11? Well, that's something that's definitely classified. I agree with you. We don't have access to that information. It's been covered up for a reason. We don't know.
but we can speculate that it was special divisions of the U.S. military, U.S. intelligence services, along with, some speculate, the Israeli and Pakistani services, as well as the Saudi Arabians. They were definitely all involved. It wasn't just the inside, you know, the United States that was in on this. It was a multi-layered operation. And so we really have to look at it from a larger perspective than just this narrow framework for the debate that we've been
given. One little thing. You mentioned the Saudis. Why would the Saudis want to be behind it?
Why was the Bin Laden family flown out of the country when nobody else could? That's definitely criminal right there. Why was the Saudi royal family providing finances to the hijackers? And there's a whole bunch of other...
Why did they want to blame them? Why would they have involved themselves in a conspiracy to blame it on Muslims?
Well, because they don't represent the general public at large. They represent the House of Saud and their private financial interests. It's all a big money game to them. 9/11 was carried out for a cocktail of reasons. It wasn't just to go to war, you know, for oil, as some people, you know, keep saying. It's also for, like you were saying, about power and control. It's about creating a domestic police state, a 911 police state. It's even in the verbiage. They threw it in your face that this was going to be the initiating event in the kind of militarization or super buildup of American presence. And that's the whole key to this, is that it's being blamed on the American government. It's not the American government that did 9/11. It's a hijacked secret government that admittedly is composed of FEMA, the Department of Justice, and a couple of other, you know, the Pentagon and a couple other secret intelligence networks. They form what's called the COG, or Continuity of Government Program. And those are the people really in charge, whose names we'll never hear or see about, because they're the real managers, not the president. It's really these Pentagon and intelligence people who are really responsible for it. Because it's far too complex for a couple of people to randomly pick out this symbolic date and carry out all these different things. It's just too absurd for me. That's why I don't buy the official story. So that's my explanation in a nutshell.
It's interesting. Makes a good novel.
Damn.
Well, my sources are people who actually lived through the event, including friends of mine and who were there, and I was there.
I wasn't
and actually
there,
helped out with some of the relief efforts. So my sources are firemen and policemen and other rescue workers and individuals.
Yeah, but they're not going
to. I'm actually here in Jersey City, New Jersey, where it happened.
But what are the fire? How are the firemen and the policemen who were at the Twin Towers going to tell you how it all began? They don't know. That's a piece of...
No, but as a law enforcement individual, many of them have said that, you know, when the evidence keeps building and building and building, it's called a preponderance of evidence.
The bodies were ruined. The bodies were gone. The steel they gave away to a foreign country, they sold it right away so it couldn't be analyzed. I mean, there's nothing to... analyze. There was nothing left to do.
Sure, there are. They just released here. Check out this. If you go to 9/11 Blogger, they just released an International Center for 9/11 Studies. They've released thousands of new videos from a Freedom of Information Act request, and these videos have been coming out for the past 1 to 2, 3 years now, from 2008 already. And there's a whole bunch of videos that clearly show the explosion, the sounds of explosion.
I don't see those videos as being relevant, because so much can
how
be
how is it not relevant? What physically happened is not relevant? People saw it their own eyes.
I have more fabricated documents in court you can't imagine. I want to see something that cannot
wow,
be...
Wow, this is someone, yeah.
Well,
this
these
is someone
are
you're
all for
never
the Pentagon
gonna
and FBI releasing them to the public via FOIA requests. I don't know what more
now,
proof
I want,
you want.
All I am saying, I'm making a very limited statement.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Statement.
What's it going to take to convince you?
Forensic evidence, and there is none. Unless
what do you mean there is none? 1,000-plus architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, including top NASA engineers recently, 60-plus years in the field?
And they all dispute each other.
And you may say that's just a few thousand individuals, but 9 out of 10 who see the presentation sign the petition. 90%. It's over. We've won the debate in the court of public opinion. It's over. 9/11 truth now.
Okay, so I'm one of them that doesn't believe until I see something that's believable.
You've been told multiple things you can see, but you keep trying to reason every piece of evidence that he's directing you to. You try to reason it all away. I mean, you can't be convinced.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, Lieutenant Stubblebine, how many more names do you need? Top generals, top intelligence officials say it was a coup d'etat, an inside job. The only possible way it could have went down is if they had an inside help to carry out such an operation. Of course it was an inside job. This is what they do. Just Google black operations. This is who they are. And I've been harassed by these individuals. Of course I can't prove it to you, but I've had people jump out of cars with clipboards and start interrogating me. We live in a total police state, and I don't know why you're living in Costa Rica. Maybe you want to escape from all of this, but America, as a result of 9/11, has turned into the worst Soviet spy state you can imagine, and I'm a direct target of this because of the position I take. What more proof do you need when the government's going after people like me who question the official story? They're not going after some terrorist with a beard and a Muslim cap on. They're going after Americans. Don't you get it?
I get it. I'm very afraid of the FEMA camps. I don't know what's going on there. I think that's very frightening. We have lost many of our rights from the Bill of Rights over time. Due process is absent from many courts. The equal protection is absent from many courts. Privacy is absent from many areas of our life. There's no question that our rights are disappearing and it's very dangerous. And that what they're doing to the children, they're really hijacking children from poor women who don't have the power to fight back. And the men, they're screwing the men in divorce courts.
We agree on more than we disagree, apparently.
They get federal money. And that influences how the judges make decisions. They don't base them on facts or true evidence. The courts are using every excuse they can not to follow the rules of evidence. And the media will not publicize it because of political influence and advertising, all kinds of reasons, so they don't really say the truth. There's no question the USA... I mean, we're talking the fall and rise of the Roman Empire. We're talking the same thing here. There's no question certain aspects are very much like the old Soviet regime. There's no question that they're very much fascistic, the way Hitler did. Take your youth and they will win the world. I mean, I do not question any of that. I have lived through it. I have fought it. I have challenged it.
Well, exactly, but that's what we're saying, though, is that to connect
still,
that to 9/11 is that it's meant to be over
I
the top.
Proof,
it's meant to be absurd, but that nobody will legitimately look into it.
You've been given evidence, Ms. Israel, first. You've been given evidence.
It is a sacred
up.
Story, never to be questioned. It was established as a sacred myth. We
I
need
have
to go back
theories.
To the legend and redefine our terms.
I've been given evidence. I've been given theories, not evidence.
You've been given things you can
look the definition of legend is a series of things to be read. I've given you a series of things to be read, have I not?
I want you to say the source. I truly do not. I have a lot of work.
Given you the source, New York Times, plans depict tape depicts plans to thwart Trade Center blast. They knew about the 93 Center bombing. They carried it out. The FBI was caught on audio tape, and now it's been declassified. Go watch Invisible Empire.
I will give you my email address, and you send me links to those things, and I'll go look.
Absolutely. I mean, Dan Rather and others reported
on
the 93 bombing.
Let me give you my email address. Barb, B-A-R-B. Johnson, as in Lyndon, Johnson, 74 at gmail.com. I also have a website, but it's really been screwed up format-wise. I don't know. Maybe it's been hacked. I don't know. But that's false allegations, false opposite true, allegations, plural.com. And it's a huge website. I've had it since 98. And that's just really not about Twin Towers or anything political. It's just about the court and challenges and pleadings that I have filed in both state and primarily federal court, all the way up from a lower district court, all the way up to the Supreme Court. has a lot of my fight with the bar because they told me my criticism of the judiciary interfered with the administration of justice, and they predetermined that I should be disbarred, so that's what happened. It took them 3.5 years instead of the 3 months they thought it would take because I put a hell of a fight, and all of that's on my website as well. So I ran for governor on a in 2002 on a platform of court reform and the abolishment of judicial immunity, and that really pissed them off because before that I had just sued four judges hoping I could get some good statements to use in later cases. But they did take the most aggravating judge off the case, so we really won that ultimately. But they wanted rid of me, and I happened to publish my book. I left the States last July, a year ago July, and my book was published a month after I got to Costa Rica. Boy, was I lucky. You know, I don't know what would have happened to me had I stayed in Massachusetts at that time when the book came out, hit Amazon. You know, it's still on Amazon, and I'd love if everyone bought it. I mean, but it would educate people. It's written so that it's easy to read. The sources, the legal citations and so forth are in the end notes. So if someone is not inclined to read the heavy stuff, just skip the end notes. But it basically gives examples and anecdotes of what the tricks and the traps for the unwary when they're in court. And since no one can afford, or very few people can afford now to pay the high prices of lawyers, many go on their own and act pro se, represent themselves in court. So the book was really designed for that group of people who are trying to represent themselves in court without a lawyer. That's why I put the tricks and the traps and so forth. The first half is a lot of domestic stuff, really men-oriented, The second half has other things, elders and discrimination and appellate stuff, lots of stuff in there.
I have a question for the author, for the filmmaker. You said 9/11 Truth Now, and you said it with a lot of passion, and I really respect that. But what happens if you do get 9/11 Truth Now? What's the next step?
Criminal prosecution. You have to go after the building materials companies. You have to go, like Richard Gage stated in the interview he recently had, you have to go after the elevators companies. You have to go after the people who could have been physically involved with this. I mean, people always ask, well, how do they get the bombs in there? Easy. If you're the one planning to blow up your own buildings, you control the security, don't you? It's very easy to control the security and get the people in there. I mean, if Philip Petit could sneak in there to walk between the towers back in the day when he strung a tightrope between them, don't you think that it would be very easy to sneak a team of people in there little by little?
Right, but in this
get away
with
it, and they had all these mysterious circumstantial things like power downs and security lapses that permitted such a team to go in there.
In days of the Patriot Act, like now, and all these kangaroo courts that are everywhere, how do we ensure that we get a fair trial if we do manage to prosecute some of these people?
Well, I mean, New York Can had a good idea, and what's now turned into the Building What campaign. I mean, you really have to first educate people on the evidence, and you have to go towards professionals, and we have to start groups like Lawyers for 9/11 Truth. We actually have to do what's necessary and go there, because nobody else is going to do it. So citizens grand juries is the answer, really. We have to have a public hearing, like they did on C-SPAN, and have a public truth inquiry, basically.
That sounds like a pretty good solution. I mean, I hear a lot of people screaming.
Credible evidence and broadcast it on live TV, and you have a credible panel of experts. You line them all up: architects and engineers, hospital and medical professionals, aviation and military. Then you have line them all up, and you have a huge public debate panel, and they run a special on C-SPAN or whatever. I mean, you can rent out time. That's what they did in the first 9/11 conference with Alex Jones and William Rodriguez, Stephen Jones and others. Bob Bowman was there.
Well, I do have to say
that was kind of like a preliminary passing a resolution type thing.
I do have to say this, though. You mentioned the police state a lot, and I used to do that also. Hey, we're living in a police state. It's high-tech Nazi Germany, et cetera, et cetera. But if that was really the case, we wouldn't be able to sit here on the radio and say the things that we're saying. So I think that maybe part of this police state, and especially these FEMA camps, is just a way to keep the public in fear and keep you in a constant low-frequency emotion, so you're running around doing things that are irrational.
Well, that's
because
part of it, but the other thing is we've reached such a boiling point where there's too many of us educated to such a degree where they can't possibly target us all, and this is the way I've been explaining it to people. In the transition period between the Bush and Obama administrations, we saw one major difference. Whereas under the Bush administration, they were targeting, and by they I mean the alphabet gangs, ABC gangs like FBI and et cetera, Homeland Security types, they were going after particular individuals and anti-war groups in particular. Now they're just recruiting the public wholesale through their City Year and other offshoot programs. You know, it's in the newspaper all the time. Join the TSA, become an airport screening officer, join the CIA, join this, join that. And so they're now rolling it out to the public, as many predicted. As the economy collapses, the only positions left will be military or security jobs. And so that's what we're seeing right now is, you know, all this recruitment, you know, spy on your friends and family, win fabulous prizes, win a free PlayStation 3, win an iPhone. And they do this all around the country, and in some cases now they're actually forcing the kids to have tracker chips in their backpacks or have clear backpacks so that they can facilitate the searching easier.
That makes sense, and I have seen that, definitely. So would you agree that the best solution now, instead of yelling that we're living in a police state, maybe we can try to enlighten people and maybe raise their consciousness level a little bit so they don't fall into these traps?
Well, look, I try to speak as rationally and calmly and, you know, as necessary and go over the evidence. You know, like I said, you heard me quoting the sources. You heard me making my statements and my claims. And that's a very good point, is we really need to just start talking to each other face-to-face more and connect on a human level. That's why I'm having my conference in New Jersey as an alternate to the New York We Are Change events, because I feel that their events are pretty much tired, worn out, the same old information that you can find on YouTube. It's really just preaching to the choir, and you know, people are saying, oh, what an amazing lineup of speakers, this and that. Well, I've seen it all, I've heard it all. You know, I think we have more power as individuals than we do joining any of these organizations. I certainly agree with that. But
absolutely,
I decided to, you know, adopt that label because as a franchise, it helps me get more recognition. And plus, you know, we're providing a lot of bombshell information on my website, and it's an easy name to remember.
Have you heard of the recent controversy
with We Are Change? Yeah, that's the best solution. Just tell people about it.
Have you heard of the recent controversy with We Are Change?
Of course. I told you. I was one of the founding members. I've seen this whole thing develop, and after reviewing Louis's evidence, it's clear that Luke is either ignorant of this whole situation and in his own world, which is likely possible, but you know, he's the other possibility has been thrown around that he's complicit, and in fact he's buddying up with these people like the Masons to kind of make We Are Change grow, if you know what I mean. And the
right.
Financial situation in that respect and many other respects has grown out of control.
Okay. I just wanted to see if you were familiar with that or not.
Could you give us your...
No, I heard your guys' info bomb on the Kevin Barrett show. That's what really bought me over, man.
Could we...
I've been struggling with this myself, you know. That's why I had to reluctantly adopt the name We Are Change New Jersey, but it helped me reach a wider audience. And like I said, I've differentiated myself from Luke and the rest of the crowd by focusing on evidence that's fact-based, that's not sensationalistic, and people know who I am. I've only recently begun to put my name on things or even put my face out there. You know,
what
because
is your
I'm,
name
what
and your URL? What is your name and your URL?
Glenn, and the website's WeAreChangeNewJersey, spelled all the way out, .com. WeAreChangeNewJersey.com.
Okay, so New Jersey isn't just plain...
And it's not just me. I mean, other people post on there as well. Anybody can sign up for it. It's totally free. And my main point is, again, I rely on people that I know. I rely on first responders, police, firemen, EMTs, janitors, former PATH train conductors. I mean, I know so many people in real life. It's unbelievable. And they all know that it's an inside job. So that's the evidence that I'm going to draw from. I'm not going to believe George Bush, the government, the 9/11 commission, or anybody else. I'm going to believe regular people who were there a lot more than
government. They're just more working stiffs with their own theories. That's not evidence.
I mean, we agree that the evidence was shipped off and covered up. Isn't that grounds for a new investigation? I mean, they never criminally investigated it. It was never considered a crime.
That's true. You do need a real investigation. But to get that is going to be extraordinarily difficult and expensive and time-consuming.
All righty.
Yeah.
I think 9/11 is a good place to start waking people up, but we also have to focus on other issues and other things that are going on in the world.
Can I just say this real quick? I think the main point I'm trying to make is we need to really go back to basics and redefine our terms, and I think the verbiage has really been lost on people, the nomenclature. We need to switch out inside job and adopt coup d'etat. I don't care how obscure you think it seems. I've gotten that criticism from a lot of people. People who don't know what a coup is will then go look into it, whereas inside job is off-putting, and it seems kind of obnoxious to keep saying that over and over again if you want to get people to join your cause. They're not going to be sympathetic to such an antagonistic approach. So my point is, if we point out how this is larger than the Bush administration, how this is, you know, a global cabal engineering this, then we really get to the heart of the matter and get past the puppets. Because Bush is just a poster child, like Obama, that we, you know, a pinata that we can beat up on.
Right, absolutely. I was on a show the other day, and the host raised a very interesting point, or it was one of our guests or something, I don't remember. But he said, you can't be mad at Bush. I mean, he was raised by the head of the CIA from birth. So these guys are just puppets. They're brainwashed puppets.
Dude, the whole thing was a mind control operation. Nobody knows what really happened. I agree with that. We have about 60 to 70% of the puzzle solved. We have about 30% missing, and that's the critical 30%. Because who knows? For all we know, some guy in a dark room somewhere on LSD clicked a mouse and the towers went down by computer-controlled demolition.
What do you think about Project Bluebeam-type technology being used there? Jim Mars was actually talking about that.
No. Look, I was there. I have the footage on my website. You can see the Jersey shots. There's even an extended 35-minute version where you can see the Jersey City footage very clearly. The towers came down with conventional explosives, except that it was what was unconventional about it. It was that it was from the top down to make it look like they were falling apart. But clearly the collapses start at the roof level in both cases. And in the case of the North Tower, it's even more obvious because the antenna drops first, indicating that the central support structure was weakened. So it couldn't possibly be the point of impact where it started if the antenna starts to drop first.
So would you say the no-planers, the people with the no-plane theories, are completely inaccurate?
Oh, that's absolutely ridiculous. It's in my movie 9/11 2001 A Space Odyssey. I have a clip from A&E, a show called The Beast, where they deliberately try to associate all 9/11 truthers with this concept, and the guy is smoking pot, and this guy comes to go buy some pot from this black guy living in a log cabin, and it's a white guy, and he's like, hey, can I just get what I came for? And he goes, hold on a second, are you a truther or a sheep? And the guy goes, look, can I just get what I, you know, came for and leave? And he goes, 9/11, man, was a false flag operation to control the masses. You know there was no planes. It was all holograms and CGI. And he goes, what's your rush, bro? And he hands him the lit smoking marijuana bowl. And so this is what they think of us. This is the type of propaganda that A&E, Discovery Network, and all these other networks put out to make us look bad, man. Of course there were planes. We saw the planes. I saw both airplanes. Now the question comes in, were they actually commercial airliners or were they painted up aircraft to look like commercial airliners? That's where the question comes into play, but there were definitely planes.
Hmm. I've never been able to. I mean, the no-planers raised some interesting points.
And I'm of the opinion that they were military aircraft because everybody, I have clip after clip of evidence, and I'm going to have to make a compilation of this. I have clip after clip of people's amateur footage where they say it was a military plane. Total natural reaction, not scripted at all, uncensored 9/11 footage. And everybody saw a small gray jet. They said it looked like a small jet, not a jumbo commercial plane. They said it looked like a tiny jet in the case of both towers. So I'm of the opinion that it was a remote-controlled drone aircraft painted up to look like a commercial airliner.
I'm leaning
more towards very easy to get away with. Very simple. I mean, my point is, the simplest explanation makes the most sense. If that's the Occam's razor argument that everybody out there is trying to make and use it against each other, let's stick with that. It defies the laws of physics for those towers to come down the way they did in 10 seconds. And people say, no, it was 14 seconds. No, it was 10 seconds each tower. Okay, 10 floors a second, 110 stories, you know, about 11 seconds for each tower, about. It doesn't take much of a high school physicist to figure this out.
What went on?
And then,
the
of course, you have all the evidence of the other buildings. That's the other point I didn't even get to make. You have buildings 3, 4, 5, and 6 also exploding at the ground level. And you have blackened floors and flashes going off in all these other buildings. Not to mention Building 7 is exploding while the towers are on fire. We have clear evidence of that, pre-demolition weakening. And if there were any fires at all in Building 7, they were caused by pre-demolition explosives.
I think it was BBC News that reported it.
As reported by Michael Hess and Barry Jennings, and that clip just came out actually this morning of Michael Hess, the OEM director, yelling out of Building 7 for help. There's a huge hole in the side of a building where he's yelling out of. And you hear an explosion, you hear, oh, as the firefighter are running away to go get help. You hear another explosion take place, and you hear the guy from the point of the place where he's yelling for help, you hear a scream. So there are explosions going off right there on video, undeniable. I mean, it's
what happened? What is your take on what happened to the Pentagon?
Well, this is what really needs to be asked. This is the heart of the matter now. When I heard that, man, I definitely knew it was an inside job. How does the most secure center of the military building get attacked? Only the government has access to do something like that. Most secure airspace in the world, even more secure than Manhattan. So my take on it, there's Freedom of Information Act request footage out there that has been released, official government source, Department of Justice, FBI release. There's a witness that, you know, parts of the tape are blurred out, but you hear the audio. There's a witness to the plane at the Pentagon. However, that could be a planted witness. We don't know the veracity or the identity of that individual. And my speculation is, as many speculate, that in the case of both towers, there was some kind of other plane that they saw. In the case of New York, there was a mystery doomsday plane, a white plane, and also in the Pentagon, they said there was another airplane flying over as the crash took place. So the most likely scenario at the Pentagon is that they had another aircraft guide some sort of other aircraft or drone, which looked maybe like a missile, you know, too small to be called an airplane, but not big enough, not small enough to be a missile, somewhere in between, and it probably was remotely guided by this other doomsday plane into the Pentagon. But was it a commercial air flight? That remains to be seen, because there was absolutely no identifiable wreckage at the Pentagon, and at the fourth airstrike, there is also no identifiable wreckage of an airplane. So that's very also suspicious of, you know, you should question, why at the third and fourth attack sites is there no evidence of airplanes or any identifiable parts? Well, I don't really know what happened to the Pentagon, but it was probably an airplane, according to the witnesses.
What about the thing in Philadelphia, the plane there?
Well, Rumsfeld admitted that was shot down by a Sidewinder missile, and there's actually video footage of him saying that. You can YouTube it. Because the debris field was 8 miles long, that's consistent with a plane being shot down.
What did they find there?
a smoking crater in the ground and no identifiable parts. And no luggage, no bodies, no nothing. Which is very suspicious.
That I have to agree with.
No, but the other thing is the planted evidence of the Quran and the poorly written hand notes, death to America, death to Israel, 91101. I mean, clearly planted evidence. Why would they bring all of these training manuals and Quran and pack it in their evidence and deliberately leave it at the airport for the media to find it?
What about the cell phone calls from the passengers to their spouses?
Aha, very good point. Now, this is something I was not educated on. I had to do a lot of research before I could finally convince myself of this. And my friend Vance Green, I mean, I could, hey, if you wanted other people, I could direct you to plenty of other 9/11 researchers that are way more well-spoken in certain areas that I can't even begin to touch in terms of source documents. And, I mean, you want real sources, I can direct you to a guy by the name of Vance Green. He could really answer your question.
Put some of the stuff in the email to me. So I have too many papers on my
desk. I had the address. I took it down. But as far as that goes, I mean, that was disproven. At least one of the phone calls was disproven, and that called that whole thing into question. The whole Ted Olson, Barbara Olson phone call was, it was admitted by the FBI. That was a fraud. Not to mention the FBI has never criminally charged Bin Laden with the crime of 9/11. He's responsible for many other bombings and other situations, but never officially with the crime of September 11th.
Well, I can tell you this. I checked that, and when I go up to the air, I've tried to use my cell phone before, and once you get to about 3,000 feet, you lose service completely.
Not to mention, YouTube wasn't even invented in 2001.
What about the...
That's why it was so easy to cover it all up and seize all the evidence.
Have they found Barbara Olson herself? Has she spoken out?
No, she was on the plane.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into overdrive. So.
Okay. What about
the show? Radio with Louis B.
What about Ted Olson? You mentioned two people to that cell phone. What about the other person?
Yeah, she died on the plane, and they disproved by voice and analytics that was a fake phone call. I don't know about other phone calls, but that one in particular, I mean, I don't have the source on that, but that one definitely was confirmed, and that was in the media.
Well, did
but
they
the Bin Laden tapes, that's what we really need to talk about. That goes to the main heart of the issue. You know, Bin Laden was responsible. How come they found all these fake videos of him, and now they don't even have videos? They just have audio tapes, and they say, hey, we found a tape cassette inside of a bag of potato chips behind an alleyway, and it's not conclusive it was him, but we'll just say it was him. And they put up a Muppet baby of Bin Laden, and everybody freaks out. You know, they've proven that those videotapes are fake, and it was even in the Washington Post about a month ago, in the Spy Talk section, that they made at least one fake Saddam Hussein video. This is the CIA now, and they made also at least one fake Osama bin Laden tape. But they admitted this recently in the mainstream media, that there are at least one fake bin Laden video that they put out deliberately. So that's really calling their whole official story into question.
What are you saying?
Yes, the Top Secret America story came out also, how there's all these spies running around. In addition to government spies, there's private corporations like Google spying on us now. So that's evidence that they're using this against us and not these Muslim terrorists.
In the final analysis, your summary, what was the underlying motive of all of this?
Well, ultimately, to change the way we think forever and to alter history and use this as not only a political shortcut, but a whole gateway of information was opened when this event took place that permitted countless crimes. And so this is really the seminal event for all of their other crimes, because this is what I call 9/11 is the Swiss Army knife of all excuses. you know, all of the body scanners, all of the CIA people running around harassing us, everything can all be directly traced to 9/11 as the justification.
Okay, given
that's not to say it wasn't going on before it, but 9/11 was really like the nail in the coffin.
But what was the motive and what was the goal?
Well, like I said, several reasons. You have the economic reason, the you know, the whole insurance fraud scam. You have the fact that you know, they needed to launch an arms race because the government had no real reason to take on the world anymore after the Vietnam War and the Cold War had ended, so they needed a reason to manufacture a new war. And basically this time they're promising a limitless war because terror is something that could never be, you know, stopped. It's an idea. So the whole thing is a contrived plot no matter how you analyze it. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that the Raytheons of the world will forever have high stock prices?
I mean, they proved that there was insider trading that all led back to the FBI and CIA. There was key officials, like I said, warning of the exact date, time, and place of attack, and they were ignored by the Bush administration and others, even though they had memos that were actually leaked to the public that said that they knew about it and they failed to stop it.
So you're saying, you mentioned the insurance. Who's insurance and who is the beneficiary?
Larry Silverstein, who also, Silverstein Properties also owns the Sears Tower, now known as the Willis Tower. So he's a very wealthy investor, this guy.
So you're saying the owner of the tower wanted to collect insurance on it?
That's the thing. He was not the owner of the tower. The owners were the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. They leased it to him a few weeks before the attacks. He officially took over on the lease. And then a few weeks later, 9/11 happened. So the owner... It was transfer ownership until just before the attacks. That's the official record of what happened.
Did he have tenant insurance?
Yeah, he won several lawsuits, and he was awarded billions of dollars.
And what about the Board of Authority? Are they involved?
And he actually tried to claim that it was double attacks because there was two different buildings, and so, you know, two different airplanes. And I think he was awarded a little bit more, but not double what he originally wanted.
Which insurance company or companies were there?
Okay, now we're going really deep. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll admit it. I can't call that right to memory right now.
What about the Port of
the
Authority?
The Underwriters Laboratory certainly is involved in this. I mean, they actually, you know, certified the steel in the building, so that definitely needs to be a part of the investigation. We need to bring together a criminal court and have all these parties testify. You know, just like the same way we investigate Goldman Sachs and Enron and everybody else.
What did the Port of Authority gain by it?
Oh, they didn't. They had first responders and all sorts of people die in the attack. That's what we're saying, is that they did. Of course, the firemen and policemen were not involved in the conspiracy. They were suffering from the effects of the attack.
No, but I want to know the owner of the tower, Port of Authority, what did they gain? What was their benefit?
Oh, no, nothing at all. That's why they're pissed off at him, because of the redevelopment. It's going very slowly because of his ass, because he doesn't want to contribute money, because he's lost all of that money that he used. He got from 9/11. He's now used it all up to purchase buildings like the Sears Tower and other investments. And so he's basically the whole reason why the new site isn't being built, because the Port Authority is throwing their whole weight behind it. They're bearing the brunt, and they're getting the short end of the stick, basically.
Are they one of the groups that have approved the building of the mosque a few blocks away?
No, they have nothing to do with it. Silverstein Properties and Port Authority has nothing to do with that cultural center there that's being built. It's not even a mosque. It's more like a money laundering operation. The whole reason I'm against that is not because they're Muslim, is because he works for Carnegie and Rockefeller. You can go on that guy's own website, and it says that that mosque, quote unquote, is being funded by Rockefeller and Carnegie. So it's a whole big joke, and Fox News is a huge part of that as well. They're promoting that. They have financial interest, and it's
yeah,
the whole
got,
thing is
we
just
got
a financial money.
We got a non-805. He puts in the chat room on crowdshotradio.com/listen live. The lease agreement applied to 1, 2, 4, and 5 World Trade Center and about 425,000 square feet of retail space. Silverstein put up $14 million of his own money to secure the deal. The terms of the lease gave Silverstein, as leaseholder, the rights and the obligation to rebuild the structures if destroyed. Upon leasing the World Trade Center towers along with 4 World Trade Center and 5 World Trade Center, Silverstein insured the buildings. The insurance policies on these 4 buildings were underwritten by 24 insurance companies for a combined total of $3.55 billion per occurrence in property damage coverage. As leaseholder of buildings 1, 2, and 4, and 5, Silverstein had the legal right to rebuild the buildings, including World Trade Center 1 at the World Trade Center site, which would later be designated as Building 1. And while the site remains unoccupied, he continues to pay $10 million per month in rent to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. After the September 11th attacks, the United States Congress approved $800 billion in tax-exempt Liberty bonds to fund development in the private sector at lower than the market interest rates. $3.4 billion remained unallocated in March 2006, designated for Lower Manhattan, with about half of the funds under the control of Mayor Bloomberg and other half under the control of former Governor George Pataki.
Huh. Thank you, Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. How old is David Rockefeller now?
I think he's in his late 80s or 90s.
My ex-husband used to have breakfast with him.
Oh,
and
you should see the dental plan.
And he appointed the judge on my divorce case in New York in 1965, and divorce in those days was held in a criminal court, not in a family court. Very interesting. I never took the stand, and what I did is I just took the kids and went to Greece and found myself a lover and forgot about the whole thing.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just an old lady now, but I have a memory. But that was Rockefeller. Now, there have been rumors. I read something the other day who was accusing him of being Jewish. That didn't make any sense at all. What is that all about?
No, that's what we're saying, is that under the guise of Jewish, many disinformation manuals have been put out by governments, such as the Elders of Zion. The whole point is they use that as a smokescreen so you could never attack them. There is an international banking conspiracy, but not all of them are Jews.
No way. Yeah. I've lived a lot overseas, and I have enough knowledge, personal knowledge, of who's what and where.
And it's just a term that people throw out, anti-Semitic, so we can never talk about the heart of the issue, and that is to identify the Federal Reserve as the culprit, not only for 9/11, but for all these other horrific, mass institutions that they've set up. The CIA isn't even really part of our government. It's quasi-governmental. It's a private corporation.
Oh, I should contact my ex-husband and see whether he's kept in touch with David all these years. He was named to the some commission about the arts. We're talking now in the early 1960s, so we're talking 50 years ago, but my husband's up there today. I'm 75. He's just about a few years older than I am.
That makes you this many years old.
Right. And
yes.
It's amazing.
And I bet you could still keep on ticking.
Oh yeah, I'm going to live to 105 probably.
Mm.
But
get yourself a young 60-year-old boyfriend.
No, I have one at about he was born he's just 50 something, a little over about 52.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. I know, for the last 9 years, he's been very loyal. He's not down here, though. I do miss him, and he's planning to come down, but
various things are in the way that he's got to take care of. So I don't know. I don't know what I'll do, but he has been very loyal, and I speak to him probably every other day. I don't have much time more to speak to him. Whatever. But, no, I should ask my ex-husband. I don't know that he's speaking to me now. We stayed friends for years, but at some point we grew apart for, we had a big disagreement. And so finally we grew apart. But that's an interesting thing. I bet he'd answer that email, whether he's still friendly with him and what he knows about it. That's interesting. That's interesting. My ex is still in New York.
You want me to go break his legs?
No, no. Someone from the mafia, actually, here in Boston, asked me whether I wanted it done when I was getting divorced. And I said, well, I that really wouldn't serve any purpose. And I went to Greece anyway. And I never asked for child support. Of course, it was different in those days. But I figured I wasn't going to stick around to collect it anyway. No, no. He's on his third wife. The second one, he wanted me to handle the divorce of his second wife, and I said, no. And he sent me the complaint. I laughed like hell. And I said, you really haven't changed much. But he's on his third now. But that's good. They don't have any kids. I think he'll be happy now. But she was a spinster when they married, so that might suit his plan very well, because he wasn't very sexually oriented.
Damn.
So, Yeah, it really wasn't.
That really must have sucked for you, Miss Barbara, because you seem like a tigress.
I was. But I found a good English lover at that time.
Oh, English.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not very fond of them. He bored me a little bit. So when I left my husband, I left him too, and I found myself a Greek lover, and that was really something. That was excellent, actually. Best 4 years of my life. Then I moved to Israel after Greece for 4 years. Because his family, they were still arranging marriages in those years. And is that the end of it? Does that mean it's the end?
No, that just means on to the next lover, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his name was Kostaki. And I spoke to him to see for a
connection. Life in my past.
Oh, yeah. And that's funny. I have a history. Oh.
I know what to get you for Christmas, Miss Barbara.
What's that? I don't know.
Boston?
That's funny. And then I went, they were still arranging marriages, and I knew he hadn't had kids, and I had two sons, and I didn't want to start breeding again. I mean, that was not up to me. So
you ever seen a grown man naked?
I went to Israel. And life was interesting there, but not as fascinating as it was in Greece, because in Greece, everyone would make a party at any time. And in Israel, they were very serious because they were constantly being attacked, and the kids were told not to play on the grass to avoid anti-personnel mines. Don't pick up pocketbooks if you see it on the bus because it might have a bomb in it. So it was really very serious living there for a year. But I made friends with some Arabs in Nazareth, and one of them, Yosef, took me to Hebron on the West Bank. And that was interesting. And because of my last name being Johnson, they wanted me to write for the New York Times something pro-Arab at that time. We're talking 1970 to 71 at that point. So the world was very different. So I have a totally different perspective on the Arabs and the Israelis and most people, because I was friendly with these people on both sides, from the Lebanese border to the West Bank borders, inside Israel, and so forth. So my perspective is really on the edge of the envelope, because most people don't understand it. They haven't really had that kind of a life where they've met different people or learned to understand different people. I'll learn to acknowledge their different cultures and how every culture has something beautiful in it, and every culture has something that's not so terrific. But people come in all flavors, just like Howard Johnson used to come in 28 flavors. Yeah, they used to say 28 flavors, take your pick.
How many flavors have you sampled, Miss Barbara?
In my youth, I used to go by ethnicity. I would say, I haven't been with an Italian, or I haven't been with a whatever. I've sampled lots of flavors, thank you, Louis. I've had a very interesting life. I have a friend who wants me to write memoirs, but I'm not Hillary Clinton. No one's really interested in whom I screwed or didn't screw. But I did have a really good life, very interesting. When I was 19, my father was unusual. I had a great dad. He wasn't affectionate, not that way, but he listened. My mother never did. I never liked her. And she lived until 91. She died, in 2004, 91. But my dad was very intelligent, and he had unusual ideas. He was always on the edge of the envelope. But when he was very rich when I was young, so I had lots of advantages. Then he ran into a few problems. He became very poor. And then we decided that we could live in Paris. This was in 1955. We could live in Paris much cheaper than we could live in Newton, Massachusetts. So my mother, my brother, and I moved to Paris. My father came over to visit because he was doing business both places. And we lived there, and we lived there on a dollar a head a night. And we ended up traveling for the whole year. After staying a few months in Paris and learning that, where I dated the chief of police of Paris. My mother used to wonder if I needed help, since I'd go out to the opera in the police chief's car. She said, "What if you needed help? No one's going to come to your rescue." And I said, "I would be fine." I met him actually through the primary black marketeer.
African-American market, Ms. Barbara. Yeah. We're not racist here.
No, he wasn't. He was actually from Austria, and he was known as Paul Singer. His brother was René Singer. It was Paul Singer or René Singer, but they came from Austria.
No snitching.
It really was an interesting time. At any rate, we went all through Europe for the year, and he averaged about a dollar a head a night. It was very interesting. In other words, you could live more cheaply there than you could live in the United States at that time. And when I got divorced, I went to Europe again, and under the same theory. So I had an interesting background in that I didn't think the way the rest of the world thought. And that led me into... My dad once said, "I'm so sorry, when I came back, I remember I was already grown and he was already older," and he said, "I'm so sorry I lost all that money. I could have helped you." And I said, "But if you had had that money, I would have ended up as boring as these two daughters of his best friend there." I said, "And I would never have experienced the things I've experienced. I would have been cheated. I wouldn't have lived the life that I have led if you had had the money, because I wouldn't have had to, I wouldn't have been motivated. And I wouldn't, and one thing I did not have, he never taught me fear. He always said, ask a question. Even if they say no, you're not going to be worse off than you were before you asked it." So he always encouraged asking questions. He encouraged risk-taking, all of those things. And I really turned out to be my dad's daughter. But he was a great man. He really was. He was a businessman. He was also an inventor. He invented some of the things you know about. I won't go through the list. That would take a lot of time. But, I'll say some of them. He invented, during the Second World War, a lot of boys were being lost when tanks were hit. And so they were taking 48 hours to retrieve a tank from the field. And he invented something that they could do it in 8 hours, so it saved a lot of lives. The government did that. I know, it might get a little boring, but the government sent him. He was the first private individual that they sent over to Europe after Germany.
Dragon Sword!
No,
wow,
yeah, I'm
wow.
just boring you now. No, there's lots of things he invented. Very interesting things.
Stop
with
that.
It was a good
one. That's just too obvious.
Yeah. Well, but...
Strike.
Yeah.
Really, this is making me miss the fighting.
This is making you what? Miss the fighting. The fighting between us? Oh, I can think of a lot of things to fighting, you know. What do they know about the guy who held all the hostages?
How far into overdrive are we going to go? Because,
I'm going to go another 30 minutes.
Really? We got a lot of listeners on. Well, it kind of dropped. We had a lot more.
Did you have a lot of listeners?
We got like 10 people on at one point.
That's not many. That's none.
Well, for the middle of the week, hey, you know.
I know. I was on a show last night. There's usually about 2,000 every week. I'm on a show twice a week. You know, where I...
Well,
you know.
Louis has dedicated listeners, right, Louis?
Yeah, damn Skipper. I give people entertainment for free. You get me for nothing. So you people got to appreciate that. This ain't no Alex Jones show. Well, I don't talk over people and... I don't act like a complete ass, and I don't go and try to destroy other people's activism, but,
you want to think of something, what else can be argued about?
Chris, did you just skeet?
Hey, where are the white women at?
That's what I need to know right now. You know what? If this show doesn't start getting interesting, I am throwing, I'm throwing this baby in the fucking fucking wood chipper.
Oh my! Well, have they any ideas as to what to discuss? Do they know anything about what's going to happen to the money in the next year? How long is it going to take for the U.S. to recover? Will it recover?
No, it's not going to recover. I mean, they're pushing for a one world currency, a one world religion, a one world government. That's what they're pushing for. They don't want the U.S. to recover. If we recover, if we get pissed off and start taking to the streets and start really, showing them what it's like to bring 1776 back into style, you know, then they're screwed. I mean, because the first thing we...
You can't do that, Louis. Here's an argument. You can't do it. When they revolted years ago, communication wasn't very good, and the government didn't have the power at that time. But if you revolt today, I mean, John Brown would turn around in his grave. They just can't do it. Or Shays' rebellion wouldn't happen because the government with the army and all the services would crush every revolter in a minute. And there's too much space between one population center and another. So a violent revolution will accomplish nothing except the death of a lot of people who want to revolt. So something else has...
I totally agree with that. I mean, you're spot on that, and that's what I tell the people who are pushing for a violent revolution. But through the last 10 years... that I've been researching this and hearing the same thing over and over again, the dollar's going to crash, buy your gold, et cetera, et cetera, I start to realize that that's all propaganda put out by the elite who own most of the gold to begin with just to line their pockets with more Federal Reserve notes. I don't ever see the dollar crashing, not in the sense that people have been talking about it.
Well, when I came to Costa Rica last year, I got 578 colones for each dollar. Today, it was 500 to each dollar. Now, that's a considerable... difference. It's almost 20%, isn't it?
Sorry, you got 578 when you first went, and now you're getting 500?
Someone has to do the math for me. I'm screwing up.
Well, that means that the dollar is getting stronger.
No, I only got fewer Kelowna's. They, in other words, when I said give me Kelowna's for $1, instead of giving me 578 Kelowna's for the dollar, they only gave me 500 Kelowna's for the dollar. That's all I got today was 500. Instead
okay.
of 578. So the dollar.
Either your money's going down or our money's going up. I mean, that's the only way that that can happen.
Okay.
No, Kelowna's fine. It's the dollar that's screwing it all up.
Okay, according to the exchange rate right now, one U.S. dollar equals 504 Kelowna's.
Okay, because the stock market went up a little today, so you got a later thing. It went up 3 points. Okay, 3 Kelowna's.
Okay, so
now, if the dollar was going down, then we'd be able to trade more of your currency for a dollar.
No, the dollar's down.
If you look at it compared to the euro, about two years ago, it was a dollar eighty per euro. Now it's almost back to 1-to-1. It's I think 1 to 1.2 or something like that.
That's because the euro's in trouble also. But all I know is that with my dollar, I can buy less now here in Costa Rica than I could when I first arrived.
Hmm.
They
now
said...
When is the donkey show coming to effect?
The donkey show? I don't know. In Nazareth, they have all white donkeys.
Oh, okay.
It's not just one person riding in on a white donkey. They
all
do it.
Hey,
on...
it's Caucasian donkeys. We're not racist.
Exactly. Way to take my joke.
That's funny. Yeah, it's wild. But so that's an interesting question. I want to know about who the guy was who took all the hostages today, who killed himself.
That's subject for another show. I'll get into that tomorrow. In fact, it's time to end the show because A, I got to use the bathroom because the turtle is poking its head out. So yeah. Anyways, I'd like to thank Ms. Barbara Glenzy of We Are Changed New Jersey, Bush Crime Family, Triple XXXX, XP Master, all the Anons in the chat room right now, Queef, gotta love Queef, he comes in all the time, and as always, fuck the New World Order, and if you don't want to do your own research, if you don't want to go to the library or do a little Google search and do a little research search to at least confirm what we're saying is true, and you don't want to do that, well, then there's nothing I can do for you but say, fuck you too.
I don't have the time. I'm in the middle of writing 3 books at the moment.
Oh, okay,
I have to write complaints for some. I just don't have the time. I literally do not have the time. But I did find wearechangednewjersey.com, and he's got a lot of interesting stuff there. I'll take a look at it, but I don't have to wander much further. And that thing gives his last name, which he didn't want to give on the radio show, but it's right on his website, so that doesn't make any sense. But, it's whatever.
So, yeah. So, with the exception of Ms. Barbara, if nobody else wants to do the research, fuck you too. So, yeah. See you guys tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Always go to crackshotradio.com and see what's going on. We always post new articles. We got Glenzy's second.
Cool.
We got Glenzy's second film featured there. Also, quick question. I didn't mean to forgot to bring this up. We Are Changing New York, who everybody knows that I'm fighting against because they're corrupt as hell. We caught Luke stealing money. He's been lying about how much money he's given to the John Field Foundation, who dropped him. Who dropped him like a bad habit, which is why they had to, for the first time, go with 9/11 Health Now. The thing is, 9/11 Health Now and We Are Change New York are both not registered as charities with the New York State, which means they're collecting.
I saw that. They said that they weren't, they couldn't receive donations. That didn't make any sense to me. I mean, unless they're saying they're nonprofit people, that was really very funny reading that news blurb about that they couldn't, that they were being investigated because they were taking donations, and because they weren't registered, they couldn't take donation money.
Right. What are your thoughts on that?
Contributions. Anybody can take contributions, but, you know, so they can just change it up like that. Well, it's not a donation, it's a contribution. The difference between the two, a donation is tax deductible going to a charity, a contribution is not.
Well, the thing is, 9/11 Health Now is a registered charity in another state. They're not allowed to accept donations in New York because they're not registered under New York. So, and this is from the Attorney General's Office of New York. So this is not something that we're pulling out the crack of our butts here. So we have an email because, you know, the what they're trying to do is basically, in my opinion, trying to profit from the deaths of 9/11 and the sick and dying first responders.
Let me just say one thing, okay? First of all, you have to be registered with the Attorney General of the State of New York if you collect any kind of donations in the State of New York, whether you're a for-profit business or a not-for-profit. You have to be registered, period. That's it. I got a call from the Attorney General's office the other day, and they alerted me to the fact that We Are Change and 9/11 Health Now are not registered with them. Therefore, it is illegal for them to collect any kind of donations. If you look on We Are Change's site, everything says donation. Okay?
If this guy says that...
You be quiet for a minute, lady, all right? You talked enough, all right? Shut the fuck up. Now, if you got to... If you're going to collect these donations, you have to be registered. I'm a 501c3, and I have to be registered. Now, why can't Luke and 9/11 Health Now, which is incorporated in the state of Missouri, but they're not registered with the New York State Attorney General's Office, Charities Bureau? There you go. That's the deal right there.
Okay, now the other guy
said... No, you be quiet. We're talking about this.
No, he said if he called a contribution, it's okay.
Well, that's I guess it is, but it doesn't say contribution on their thing. And we're not talking to you, okay? You've been talking about the tanks and everything. Keep it. Put a lid on it for a minute, all right? Thank you. Let us have this radio show. We got to get these things solved. You're just talking and talking and talking because you ain't got nobody to talk to in Costa Rica. Shut up. All right, go ahead. Continue.
Damn, Pat.
Hey, Pat, come on. You know, that's a little bit too much.
He needs
a little bit too much, too. Come on, give us a break, too.
You need a new mistress.
I do. You're right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're single, Pat, and she's single.
No, I'm taken.
I'm not going to Costa Rica.
There's a gorgeous Costa Rican down here. His name is Fernando. I don't need anyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Miss Barbara dresses up like Lady Gaga and goes out to the bars. There you go.
Dizzy Mafia sounding prick? Oh, that's me, motherfucker, and I'll kick your ass any fucking day, buddy, because you're nothing but a punk. You're a big man on the fucking keyboard, but you ain't shit in the street, all right?
Okay, we got another non-member.
Who is Adrian Vamo? I want to fucking know you.
Oh, God.
What is all that?
I don't know. This is the cat that's been pranking me all week. You know, he won't leave me the fuck alone.
Like Pat.
Nah. He keeps fucking around. I mean, he's lucky I can't find out who he is. You know.
Oh, it's me. It's Luke. It's got to be Luke.
It's always
Luke.
Shut up, you pussy.
Fuck you, you fucking Puerto Rican.
Yeah, whatever. Guy. Say that. Say that in my face. Say it in my face.
I am saying it in your face, you faggot. Guess what? You're not
going to fuck. That's
yeah, whatever. I'm done with his ass.
Oh, that's Howard. Troy.
No, that is like, that's Troy. That's Troy's little butt buddy. Anyways, All right.
Troy's little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. That's pretty bad when you're Troy's little bitch.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
Alrighty, so anyways, yeah, this has been a Crowd Shot Radio Show. Let me finally end the show. Oh, goodness. Alrighty. Mazel tov, everybody. Mazel tov.
Mazel.
Mazel tov.
Oh, she hung up. We could talk now.
Damn. Why you did that? Alright. Hey, mazel tov, everybody, and I know I'm probably going to get a YouTube video. It's like, oh, he said mazel tov. That means he's a fucking a Mossad agent. Jesus, I'm from Brooklyn. I could talk like that.
If I'm such, wait a minute, Louis, if I'm such a son of greaseball, why don't you meet me over by, say, Broadway and Keep Street Saturday night about 9 o'clock? I'll glad to meet you. I'll be in a black pickup truck, Pennsylvania plates. I'll fuck you up, all right? Go ahead, Lou.
Oh, I was about to start.
How you
I
like
was
that?
About to. I was about to lift. I was about to lift myself in the chair. So I don't know how that was gonna work out, but you know.
You're awfully strong.
Yeah, and know how to levitate.
Yes.
Yes. All right, once we get the logistics of levitation down, I'll let you guys know, and I'll do the Hava Nagila dance by myself. All right, shit. All right. I got nothing to say, so fuck y'all, I guess. I don't know. Here it is, the end.